Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke, chapter 22. We'll read verses 15 through 20 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Luke 22, verses 15 through 20. Luke 22, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat any more until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for the influence of this church. Lord, this week, churches from all over the country were here to be helped, to be strengthened and challenged. And yet, each and every service here, you're still in our midst. Lord, we don't need a conference for you to show up. You do. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us as we listen. May we concentrate. May we listen. May we allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in our life to help someone else, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to ask us to remember. We need to remember, and God tells us that. I'll show you what I mean as the morning progresses. There in Luke chapter 22, verse 19 and 20, it says, And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. It's a very personal thing. God was saying to these folks, I want you to remember. In doing so, in God telling us to remember, He is talking to us about a thing called the Lord's Supper. I'll show you some things. We serve the Lord's Supper here at our church. This is a tray. In that tray, we would put some bread. Here are some crackers. They do not have yeast in them, but there's some crackers here. We would put it in that tray right there, and that tray would be used to serve the Lord's Supper. Many of you have been here at our church when we serve the Lord's Supper. At the Lord's Supper, we would also use this tray. In this tray, we have some small plastic cups. They would receive the juice. We pass it around. It's a part of the Lord's Supper. We would then put in that the juice. And God, He used this. He said these crackers, this juice, these elements, they're there to help us to remember Him. Jesus said, I want you to take the Lord's Supper. He said, one of the reasons I want you to take the Lord's Supper is because I want you to remember me. Now, that juice, it's not wine, it's unfermented, but it reminds us of the blood that He shed. And when we take the Lord's Supper, we're to be reminded of the blood that He shed. Now, so you know, this juice right here, it wasn't made by Brother Nash at youth conference. If any of you were at our youth conference, Brother Nash has started a juicing company. But he smashed some grapes for us one night. By the way, you're going to have to pay to have my suit cleaned that I wore on Wednesday night because I got grape juice all over it. But this juice, it was used, and God told us, Jesus said, I want you to take the Lord's Supper. I want you to drink that juice because I want you to remember my blood and that it was shed for you. But the issue was, remember it now. He said, don't forget about it. It's an issue. Remember me. Remember my blood. Then the bread. He said, I want you to take a piece of bread and I want you to eat that bread. And I want that to remind you of my body. He shed his blood. He He said, remember my blood. His body was beaten and bruised and broken. And he said, I want you to remember my body and what my body went through for you. And God tells us over and over again. He said there in 1 Corinthians 11:24, he said, and when he had given thanks, he break it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. He said, you drink that juice because I want you to remember my blood. He said, you eat that bread because I want you to remember my broken body. We're commanded to remember him. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says, for as oft as you eat this bread or you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, this also is to remind us he's coming again. He said, you remember that blood, you remember that bread, you remember me by them, and let those things prompt you to be reminded that I am coming again. He's saying, I need you to remember that now. Remember my blood, remember the bread, remember I'm coming again. Now, evidently, there's some things that he makes into an issue in regard to our remembering. Listen to this. He said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he said, I need you to remember my words. He said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I need you to remember my blood, remember the bread, remember my body, remember I'm coming again. Then he said, you need to remember my words. You need to remember my words. Now, you say, why? Because remembering stirs our minds. Listen to this verse. 2 Peter 3:1 says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, let me explain something to you. If you would like to have a pure mind, what needs to happen is we need to stir you about some things. We stir up those things that are already in your minds to remind you to live right, to think right, and to behave right. Most everybody in here has been taught enough about doing right. You need to be reminded to do right. That's why he said, I want you to remember some things. Remember my blood. Remember my body. Remember, I'm coming again. Remember my words. And then there in 2 Peter 3:1, God makes it all make sense to us. He said, I am going to remind you of some things because when I remind you of them, I stir them up in you. I stir them up in your mind so that you are more apt to live pure. Listen to the verse again. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. If you would like to live right, it's not a matter of learning something once and just letting it set. It's a matter of learning it and getting around it and having it stirred up in preaching and stirred up in teaching and stirred up in your Bible study so that that which has been put inside you is stirred up and becomes active in your everyday life. And so we're to have these things, we're to be reminded of certain things. It's important to remember certain things. Men, I'd recommend that you remember your anniversary date. That's important to you. You say, why? If you don't remember that, you too could have someone remembering your broken body and shed blood. And I'd recommend that you remember your wife's birthday, not your ex-girlfriend's birthday. You know, in the Bible, God, for some reason, uses that word remember. And I don't believe there's any accidents in the Bible. There's no uh-ohs. God didn't say, oh, I can't believe I put that in there. Everything that he put it in here for a reason. And if God tells us, I can, by way of remembrance, stir you to a purer life, then if you and I will remember what God told us to remember, it will stir us unto purity. That's what he's teaching here. But get this. If God emphasizes certain things need to be remembered, it must be then that the devil is trying to cause us to forget those things. We've got to know, anything God wants, the devil wants the opposite. If God wants it hot, the devil wants it cold. That's the way it is. And so let me say, if God says to us, remember this, then the devil is working overtime to get us to forget this. That's the way the devil works. Now stay with me this morning. I call the sermon, The Things God Wants Us to Remember. First of all, we are to remember His name. We're to remember His name. Listen to this verse. Psalm chapter 20, verse number 7, it says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. God specifically says, I'm going to give you some things you've got to remember. Why? Because if you remember them, you will stir something inside you that will help you to be pure in life. And we're to be pure as Christians. Now, he says, remember the name of the Lord. It said there, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Now, what's this? These are military references, if you will. Some trust in chariots. What do we trust in? We trust in the name of the Lord. Some trust in horses. It's talking about a cavalry. They trust in their chariots. They trust in their cavalry. What do we trust in? We trust in the name of the Lord. Of the Lord. You see, these are words of protection. And these are references of protection. His name is our army. He can keep us safe. And you need to remember how powerful the name of the Lord is. The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. There it is again. God said, remember my name. Now, Christians, let me remind all of you, you need to remember God's name. You need to remember who God is. You need to remember that your protection comes from God. Look, if you and I are safe, thank God for the police department, and Brother Lowther said it so well on Wednesday night in his testimony. Thank God for the military. But I've got news for you. The one that keeps you and I safe, it's the name of the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God. And we need, God said there's some things you better remember, and there are some things that the devil's going to try to get you to forget. Remember the name of the Lord. He is our mighty protector. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Remember His name in all that you do. Remember it. Remember His name. Before you do anything, you might want to glance at the name of Jesus and say, is this going to disappoint Him? Remember His name in every word that you see, every word that you say, and everything that you hear. Remember every deed. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand before you whole. And what you find out here is that we need to remember His name, and it is by His name you and I are saved. And the Lord is saying, don't you forget my name. I'm a little tired of people using God's name in vain. In whatever way, that is our God's name. That is Jehovah God's name. If you want to cuss, go ahead and use your mother-in-law's name, but don't use your God's name. Listen to me now. There's a problem with this thing of people degrading the name of God. We are to remember His name. You say, what's the big deal? He on purpose said, remember my name. Remember, the concept is, if we will remember certain things, they will stir us unto purity. There's some of you, you need to change the way you talk. You misuse God's name. God's name is not a cuss word. And if you would remember that, it will stir you to a vocabulary of purity. And that's what God said. Remember God's name. Remember Jesus' name. Remember the Holy Spirit. Remember Jehovah God. Remember the King of Kings. Remember the Lord of Lords. And if we'll do that in everything we say, every deed, every action, if we do that, it will stir us unto pure behavior. That's what God promised. So I am to remember His name. Not only am I to remember His name, but I am to remember His works. We are to remember His works. Remember, the Lord said, remember that juice. That's a remembrance of my blood. Remember those crackers. Those are to be a remembrance of my broken body. Remember, I'm coming again. Remember my words. Why? Because we have something put in us. We need to be reminded so it is stirred in us, and it will keep us acting, behaving, and living in a pure way. You know, again, most of us know what we're supposed to do, but we need to be reminded, and that reminder will stir us to continue to do what we're supposed to do. Look, if you were right with God a year ago, you're supposed to be right with God right now. If it was right to give to God a year ago, it's right to give to God right now. But we need to be reminded because it stirs the purity within us. That's what the Bible's teaching. So if I will remember His name, it will stir the purity that He has expected of me and started in me by way of His words. We're to remember His works.
Yes.
1 Chronicles 16:12 says, remember His marvelous works, that He hath done His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Now, it'd be a real smart thing if you want to be pure, if you want to do right and live right, I would recommend that you remember the works, W-O-R-K-S, the works of God. And He said that not just the works, He said the marvelous works. God has done some marvelous works. God recommends we work at remembering His works in our lives and in the lives of others. I like the verse, when I think of the works of God, I think of the fact that He finished His work. He finished it. John 17:4 says, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. That's Jesus talking to God the Father. Hey, and He finished that work. And it said here, Jesus said, Father, I finished what You gave me to do, and that glorifies You. Now, let me tell you all something. You better remember the work of Jesus, which happened to be a finished work. And there's a good example to you and I. We are to finish what God's given us to do. You're not to be going backwards in your Christianity, but going forward in your Christianity. You're not to come to church less, but more. You're not to give less, but more. You're not to win less, but more. And what's God telling us? He's saying, let me stir up what's been put inside you. You know what you're supposed to do. You need to be reminded to do it. So we stir up what's been put inside you, and it'll create a purity in your life. Remember the works of God. Remember the work of Jesus. He finished His work. And we're to follow that example. His work was to do the will of God. Listen to this. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. There's that finishing again. But notice that Jesus did not come to do His will, but God's will. There you go. There's another good example to us. Jesus is saying, don't you do what you want, Christian. You do what He wants. He said, Brother Owens, I already know that. I know you already know that. Yes, I do. You've been told that over and over and over and over again. Today, I stir up your mind and I say to you, do right. Do God's will. God said, if you'll just remind them, stir up what they've been told, it produces purity in their life. No, everybody in here, I'm not going to say anything new today. I don't have anything new to say. I've been looking in the book. I've read it through over and over and over again. There's no new words being produced. It's the same old thing. But let me stir up your mind to say to you, do God's will. Do God's will. Let that stir you. Be reminded of the importance of God's will. No safer place on the face of the earth than in God's will. No safer place. Brother Heidenreich, we spoke for a moment in the hallway earlier, and we have a missionary coming in next Sunday night from the Dominican Republic, and we have missionaries that are on foreign soil. Brother Nathan Owens, our missionary, he texted me early this morning to tell me about his church service there in Cameroon, all the way around the world. Let me tell you something, the safest place on the face of the earth for Nathan and Carrie Owens is in the center of God's will in a heathen land surrounded by heathen people. You say why? That's God's will. Amen. Folks, you can't do any better than be in God's will. Your will is not God's will. You're not going to find God's will if you have a will of your own. You need to empty yourself of self and say, God, I want whatever you want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Jesus did not do his own will. Jesus did the will of the Father. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish that work. What would God have me to do? In a special way, God recommends that we remember his works. When I look at the works of Jesus Christ, he said, I finished my works, and my real work is to do whatever he wants me to do. There are many of you, you would say this to me. You say, preacher, you've got to do what God wants you to do because you're the man of God. Well, I've got news for you. Me doing the will of God is no more important than you doing the will of God. The will of God for Jeff Owens is in equal proportion and in importance as the will of God for you. It's not important that the person in the pulpit do the will of God and unimportant that the person in the pew not. No, there's a will of God for you. And you need to do the will of God. You ought to be passionate about the will of God. Now, the will of God might not be identical for me and you. Some parts of it are. Some parts of the will of God are very, very identical for you and I. We're all to win souls. We're all to give. We're all to love. We're all to forgive. But wait a minute. You have a will that God has assigned to you. Find it and do it. And I'm just reminding you, the will of God is ultimate. You say, I already know that. I know you do. But God told me if I would remind you, we could stir up what's already been given to you and it'll produce purity in your life. We are to remember his name. We are to remember his works. But not only that, we're to remember his love. Song of Solomon, a book in the Bible written, and it portrays the love relationship both between maybe a husband and a wife and the relationship between the bride and groom, and that Jesus being the bride and those of us that are born again being the groom. Listen to this verse. Solomon 1:4 says, draw me when we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love. We will remember thy love. We will remember thy love. For some reason, God has used the word remember here with the word love. I see that God uses the word remember with his blood and his body. I see God uses the word remember with his word. I see God uses the word remember with his name and the works that he's done. Now he's saying, you need to remember my love. You need to remember it. Remember, hey, everybody here, you need to remember God loves you. You say, this is my very first time ever at this church. I've got good news for you. God loves you. Best news I could give you today is that God loves you. Our God is a loving God. You say, but Brother Owens, you don't know what I've done. God loves you no matter what you've done. You say, Brother Owens, you don't know what I've fought. God loves you. God loves you no matter what you thought, no matter where you've been, no matter who you've hurt. God loves you. That doesn't mean God approves of your behavior, but it means that God loves you, sinner. God loves you, saint. Remember God's love. Remember that Jesus loves you. Hey, and I don't mean he just likes you. He loves you. God loves you. We're to remember that love. Remember the ability of his love. Listen to this. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, nothing. Nothing. Did you know something? God loves you. God loves you so much that you have a love that is secure and in regard to God's love for you. He said, nothing can stop my love. He said, if tribulation comes, that's not going to stop my love. Whether it be tribulation in this world, and some of you say, Brother Owens, the tribulation is not me personally, but there's just a lot of tribulation around me. God still loves you. in the midst of whatever tribulation you're facing, God loves you. Then he said, how about distress? Whether it's distress around you or your own distress. If you're all panicked, if you're, as the world would call it, if you're all freaked out, let me assure you something, distressed person, God loves you. Your distress has not stopped God's love. The tribulation of life has not stopped God's love. Persecution. Hey, I'm under persecution. You say, Brother Owens, the persecution is upon me. Well, if persecution is upon you, God's love is bigger than the persecution. Everybody look right at me. Only leave the auditorium if it's an emergency. I want you to look right this way. Hey, tribulation won't stop God's love. Distress won't stop God's love. Persecution won't stop God's love. Famine does not stop God's love. Nakedness does not stop God's love. Peril does not stop God's love. The sword does not stop God's love. And God said, remember my love. There's some of you, the Bible says charity never faileth. The word charity is equal to the word love. There's some of you, the only thing that's going to help you right now is for you to realize the God of the universe loves you. I don't know why, but boy, does that make a difference. I mean, there are just some times when nobody can say the right thing, do the right thing, give you the right thing. Well, let me give you the best advice the Bible has. God loves you. And remember that. It will stir something inside you. And that way the devil doesn't get the best of your life. Remember, God loves you. And let me tell you this. The devil does not. The devil hates you. He'll sell you a wooden nickel. He'll sell you up the river. He'll take you deeper than you plan to go, keep you longer than you plan to stay. He'll charge you more than you plan to pay. And all the time telling you he's your friend. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. He does not love you. He hates you. God loves you. And if you say, I already know that. I know you do. Stir it up inside you, Christian. Let that be stirred inside you. Remember, though, his desire for us to love each other. John 15:12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You say, I already know that. I know, but you need to stir it. Why? So you can have a pure mind and not have vengeance and hatred and lack of forgiveness in your mind. It's got to be stirred up. I can't tell you anything new. There's some saints in here. You know the Bible better than I do. I'll just keep telling you what God said. Why? It will stir up what's inside you, hoping that it will produce a continued purity in your life. You see, we are to love one another as He loved us. I think then, if God loves us in whatever case, I guess you and I should love each other even during tribulation. I think we should love each other even during distress. I think we should love each other even during persecution. I think we should love each other even during famine. I think we should love each other even during nakedness and peril and the sword. What's God saying? God said, you are to love each other the way that I loved you. And remember that, Christian. You say, why? Because I can stir up inside you the qualities that will help you to be pure in your life. The memory. There were two very elderly ladies, which I didn't even know existed, but there were two very elderly ladies enjoying the sunshine on a park bench. They had been meeting in that park every sunny day for 12 years in a row. They would chat and enjoy one another's friendship. One day, the younger of the two ladies turns to the other and says, "Please don't be angry with me, my dear, but I am embarrassed after all these years. What's your name? I'm trying to remember, and I just can't remember your name." The older friend stares at her, very distressed over this observation and finding. She says nothing for about 2 minutes, and finally, with tears in her eyes, she said, "How soon do you need to know?" I'll tell you all something. You would be better off forgetting your name than forgetting God loves you. Tell you, if you're in an automobile accident and you get amnesia, you're in that hospital And they say to me, Pastor Owens, your member that can't remember anything. I'm going to promise you, the psychologists and the psychologists, what they're going to do is they're going to come and try to get you to remember your name. But the first thing your preacher's going to come and do, I'm going to remind you, God loves you. God loves you because charity never faileth. And God said, stir up your mind, Christian. Stir it up. Be reminded of that which you already know. If you're a visitor today at this church and you thought that you would come here today and learn some new revelation, I have no new revelation, but I've got an old book, and I've got an old story that Jesus came from glory. I can tell you that Jesus loves you. I can tell you that the Bible's true. I can tell you that He shed His blood and they bruised His body. I can tell you that He's coming again. Let's be reminded of those things that will push us unto purity. We're also reminded that His affliction is an issue. His affliction, listen, Lamentations 3:19, it says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. This is a reference to the affliction and misery through which Jesus went to save you and me. Remember what He suffered for you, Christian. What are you willing to suffer for Him? Good. Remember what He gave up for you, Christian. What are you willing to give up for Him? Good. Remember the pain that He went through for you. What are you willing to suffer for Him? He said, I'm going to remind you, and in reminding you, it will stir something inside you that will result in purity. Wouldn't hurt all of us to take just a moment and to think back through what Jesus Christ went through. Those of you that won't obey God, those of you that won't do what God wants you to do, and you're wondering about, well, what do I get out of it? You already have heaven. God already gave His Son. What more do you expect? All sorts of people in here, I'll take heaven, I'll take everything you give me, God, and I'm glad that He gives it. But if you would stop and realize something, we all are undone. We all deserve to go to hell. God gave His Son, not because you're good, because God's good. We would not fuss with God over a little of this and a little of that. We would not have so much misery in our own life if we would just realize, look what God has done. And He said, remember my affliction, not your affliction. So it's time for some of you to cancel your pity party. You say, I remember my affliction, Brother Owens. It might help you if you remembered His. His affliction. His misery. They treated Him like a worm. Psalm 22:6 says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despise the people. But wait a minute. We're not talking about the weird Jeffrey Dahmer here. We're not talking about Osama bin Laden. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus said they treated me like a worm. They didn't treat me like a man. They reproached me. They despised me. And He said it'd be a real good idea for those of us who are imperfect to remember what He, who is perfect, went through for those of us that are imperfect. What sacrifice is too much for you to give to God, seeing that He sacrificed so much for you? His bones were all out of joint, according to the Bible, when they crucified Him and tortured Him. Psalm 22, verse 14 says, I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. You understand? The Bible prophesied that not a bone of His would be broken. You say, look at that. How bad could have it been? And not a bone was broken. Every bone He had was out of joint. So when you see Jesus hanging on that cross, seems like He's kind of got it all together. There's a little trickle of blood. I've got news for you. The man was like a piece of beat up hamburger meat, a deer that had been hit by about 10, 18 wheelers in a row. His body was mangled. He was bleeding. He was suffering. He was swollen. He was bruised. He was bruised for our iniquity. And you'll sit there and say, well, I'm not going to give this to God, and I'm not going to do that to God. All the misery I bear, all the misery that He bore for our sin-cursed soul. He said, I can help you. You all say, I already knew this. I know. But He said, remember. Why? Because if you will be reminded, it will stir you unto purity. His tongue was dry. Cotton mouth, if you will. Psalm 22, verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me unto the dust of the death. They pierced his hands and his feet, Psalm 22:16. They put a crown of thorns upon his head and beat him with a stick, and they mocked him, and they plucked out his beard, and they stripped him and humiliated him. Not because you and I were pure, but because we were not. He did all that for us. He said it might be good every once in a while that we're reminded of it. Remember his affliction. He pleads that we remember what he did for us. He begs that we remember the price that he paid. He hopes that you will respect his sacrifice enough that you'll keep going for him and do right, do right, do right, Christian. And so, he said, I want you to take that juice and be reminded of my blood, and take those crackers and be reminded of my broken body. Let it remind you that I'm coming again. Be reminded of my word. And why? Because he said, you're going to learn some things. We're going to put it inside you. But in essence, you're going to get a little bachelor and you're going to forget what those things mean. So they're going to be repeated. You're going to be reminded, because the reminding of those truths will stir up inside you the purity you're supposed to be living. Remember his name. Remember his works. Remember his love. Remember his affliction. But not only that, we're to remember that we're to be givers. We're to remember that we're to be givers. Acts chapter 20, verse number 35, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And to remember, there it is, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Good. You say, I already know that. I know you know that. But it needs to be stirred up inside you, because some of you haven't been doing it. We must be reminded that there's a greater blessing in giving than receiving. See, man's naturally stingy. Man is naturally self-centered. Man naturally can logic away God's concept. What concept? More blessed to give than to receive. We must be reminded we're to be givers, not takers in life. We're to give love. We're to give forgiveness. We're to give thanks. We're to give appreciation. But, you know, our problem is we want to receive it. I want to receive it. I did something at youth conference and nobody thanked me. How many people did you go around and thank? You're going to end up with a bitter heart if you're not careful. I didn't have a great big old line of people that came to me and said, Preacher, I wonder how many hours you put in to make that thing go. But I'm not doing it to get your praise. I'm doing it because I'm to give of myself. Whether anybody pats me on the head, rubs my belly, or gives me a reward, I'm to serve God, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. We must be reminded that the Christian life is all about other people. It's more blessed. It's more blessed to give. The greater blessing is in giving than receiving.
Yes, sir.
See, we get more excited about receiving our paycheck than giving our tithe. How many of you look forward to Friday payday? Matter of fact, it'll even cause you to go into work on Friday. Do you come into church just because you know you have to tithe? So I got to be there. I just got to be there. Well, why? I got to give. No, it's more blessed to you to receive than to give. That's basically the way it is in the Christian life. More blessing to us to get than to give. But God said, you're wrong. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, do we like it when we get? Gimme, 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 gimme. Bless me, bless me, bless me. God said, you ought to be giving, giving, giving. He said, let me stir something inside you. Hey, you all know that. Most of you are taught that since you were a child. More blessed to give than receive. You know what we have to do? Preacher's got to get up every once in a while and just throw a fit about it and say, push the reset button. Push it. Give. You know, you're commanded to tithe. I hate preaching on it. Everybody looks at you and says, what are you trying to do? Well, according to the Bible, I'm trying to help you to be blessed. You say, I don't see it that way. I know, but you need to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not Jeff Owens. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let it stir you unto purity. Obedience to God. Not only are we to remember to be givers, not only are we to remember His affliction and remember His love and remember His works and remember His name, the Bible says that we are to remember His resurrection. 2 Timothy 2:8, it says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. My God is alive. Jesus was put in a borrowed tomb. You say, why? Because He wasn't staying.
Yes, sir.
Might as well rent it. Why buy it if you're not going to use it for long? If they had tombs back then, Jesus would have gone to rent a center to get Him one. Someone might have said, well, don't you want this long term? He said, I don't need it long term.
Yes, sir.
They said, well, everybody else bought one. Muhammad bought one. Buddha bought one. Jesus said, I'm not Muhammad and I'm not Buddha. I'm renting one. I only need it for a couple of days to fulfill the scripture because I'm coming up out of that baby. Somebody's bringing it back on a U-Haul truck. I don't need it for long. I serve a risen Savior. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, part of the big deal is the resurrection creates power in the life of the Christian.
Right.
Philippians 3:10 says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Wow. I'm glad I serve a risen Savior. You say, why? Because in that resurrection, you and I get to tap into a power that is unique. Power for our lives. It gives us power to keep going and power to overcome the sin in our lives. It reminds us that He has the power. If Jesus can resurrect Himself, which seems like that'd be a pretty big task, I guess He could help somebody else. So if Jesus can resurrect Himself, you and I, one day He's going to resurrect our mortal bodies. We'll go into the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, I'm glad to know that I serve a resurrected Savior. I'm glad to know that my God is not dead. I'm glad to know, hey, there's some people that when Easter rolls around, they celebrate the Easter Bunny. They can celebrate the bunny all they want. I'm going to celebrate the fact that my God came born in a body, born in flesh. Lived 33 and a half sinless years. They crucified Him, put Him in a grave, and everybody in hell said, we got Him. An angel looked down and said, fella, don't count your chickens before they're hatched. Because 3 days later, up from the grave, He arose with a mighty victory over every foe. He made it so you and I could have the power of resurrection. He can resurrect your dead heart. He can resurrect your dead body. He can resurrect your dead marriage. He can resurrect your children that are lost out there in the sin of their life. God has a resurrection for us. You say, Brother Owens, I already know that. I know you do. But I just needed to remind you. Sure helps to be reminded. Isn't God brilliant? He is brilliant. He said, I'm going to give you some things. They're going to do. They're going to get old to you. Somebody's got to remind you. Why? Because they were stir us up unto a purity. Are you saved today? If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to remember that Jesus was born of a virgin. You need to remember that Jesus lived 33 and a half years. He never sinned. Perfect. You say, perfect? Uh-huh, perfect. Well, according to who? God. According to the Scripture. They crucified Him. Some would say they forced Him to death, but He gave Himself willingly, like a lamb to the slaughter. They crucified Him. Nailed Him to a cross. They beat Him with a cat of nine tails. They hit Him with sticks. They stripped Him of His clothing. They mocked Him, abused Him, teased Him. They plucked His beard, placed a crown of thorns on His head. There came a moment when His blood flowed and His body was beaten. He gave up the ghost. He died. They put Him in a grave. A few days later, He came up out of that grave. Alive. Ever since, He's been at the right hand of the Father. He's coming again. He said He would come back. Those that are saved, He'll come back and get them. And then where He is, that there we may be also. You say, why did He do all that? Because He loves you. You say, me? Uh-huh. He loves you. If you're here today and you're not saved, let me remind you, God loves you. You say, you know, I've heard that. I just want to remind you. There's a thing called salvation that's very pure, not paid for by you, but paid for by somebody else. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to recommend that you get saved. You see, as I look at this story, I start out where the Lord says, now, we're going to take a thing called the Lord's Supper. Why are we going to do this? Jesus said, well, we're going to do it here today, and then I'm going to have the church do it all the way into history. I'm sure the disciples said to him, Lord, why? Why are we going to do this? He said, because there's some things you need to remember. Oh, Lord, don't worry. We won't forget. Jesus said, no, I know you far better than that. I'm going to have you reminded on a regular basis about the blood. And I'm going to have you reminded on a regular basis about my body. And I'm going to have you reminded on a regular basis that I'm coming again. Because if I remind you, I can stir you. He said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. He said, I'm going to remind you. Because if I remind you, it will create purity. It'll create a purity. Remember His name. You say, why? Help you live a purer life. Remember His works, both in your life and the lives of others. Why? It will create a pure life. It'll produce purity in your life. Remember His love. Why? That love will create a purity. Remember the affliction that He went through. Why? Because that affliction will remind us of the pure life that He wants us to live. Why? Why remember to be givers rather than receivers? Because it will purify us. Why remember His resurrection? Because it will purify us. I'm going to tell you, you folks, I have to tell you something if you're not saved. I've told you today about Jesus. If you die unsaved, you may never forget this day. You see, the Bible teaches everybody's a sinner. The Bible teaches there is a penalty for sin, which is death in hell, separated from God for all eternity. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ paid that penalty for you. He's the only one that could. He paid it with His death, His burial, and resurrection. He said what you have to do is you have to receive it as a free gift. That's the only way you're going to go to heaven. Now, let me tell you, if you die and you don't get saved, you will remember that you had a chance. Say, how do you know that? Go to the story in Luke chapter 16. There's somebody that remembered. They remembered. I think what will make hell bad is not just the fire. It'll be the absence and separation from God. And I think it will also be worse for people that knew they could have been saved. They'll remember that they pushed salvation away. Let the Word of God change your life today. Let it stir something inside you. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Ask yourself that. Ask yourself, am I sure if I died today, am I sure I'd go to heaven? If you're not sure of that, you need to get born again. You need to get saved. That blood that was shed, that body that was bruised and beaten, it was all for you. He did it for you so you would be saved. But you're not saved yet. If you die and go to hell, you'll remember that for all eternity. You'll remember as you burn in hell, I could have been saved. I remember what He did. I remember what that preacher told me. I remember that day. I remember it. He told me I would remember. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today. Who here would say, Pastor Owens, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Pray for me. I want you to pray for me. That's what I need. I need to be saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I need to be saved. I know it. I've seen a hand. Somebody else. There's another. You say, I know I need to be saved. I know it. Good. I see that hand and that hand and another. You say, I know I need to be saved. I know that's what I need. I don't want to go to hell and then remember this day that I rejected Christ. You may put those hands down. Who else? You say, that's me. I need to be saved. Those of you that raised your hands just a moment ago, four or five of you, in a minute, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a minute, the instrumentalists are going to play. We're going to stand. The men that are sitting on this platform, they're going to step off the platform and go down and stand at the end of each aisle. When we start this thing called the invitation, I want you to leave your seat, walk up to the man that's at the end of the aisle and say, I want to be saved. And we're going to take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Now, if you don't do that, you'll remember in hell that I told you to. You'll remember that you did not do what you needed to do to get saved. So in a moment, you'll just move. I'll tell you when. Anybody else that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I see another hand. You come then. God bless you. I see that hand. You come and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If not, you'll remember this day in all eternity. If you die and go to hell, you will. Who here would say, preacher, in me today, God has stirred something that had become dormant. In me today, through the same old things that God always tells us, He touched something and rekindled something in me. It's going to launch a desire of purity, and I see it and I need it. And it's the same old thing, and I already knew it. But somehow, God touched me in the remembrance. And you'll raise your hand and say, He did that. He did that for me today. I've watched it. It happened in my heart just now. God bless you. If you need the altar, why don't you come? If you're in the balcony, just leave your seat and come down those stairs and come down here and get on your face. Now, somebody here, you're backslidden. You're away from God terribly. Maybe you ought to come back to God. God wants you to come back. We love you. Your church will love you. We're not mad at you. Just come down here. Get on your face. Say, I'm rededicating my life to the Lord. I'm taking care of it. I'm getting some things straightened out. You come. Somebody, you've been saved and you've never made it public. You come. Maybe you need to be baptized. You come. Maybe you need to join the church today. If you have been saved and baptized by immersion after your salvation and you'd like to join our church, you come. Maybe you just have a burden. Well, let me remind you something the Scripture teaches us. There's no burden that God will not help you to bear. You say, I know that, but let me remind you of it. Let it stir you to a confidence that your God has not forgotten you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He said that. You say, I've heard that before. Let it be stirred inside you today. Let me ask one more time. Is there anybody here? You say, I'm not saved, preacher. I need to be born again. Pray for me. I didn't raise my hand earlier, but I need to be saved. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet if we would please. Choir, sing a song of invitation. Those of you that raised your hand for salvation, I want you to come walk up to the man that is standing and facing the crowd and say, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. Come forward and say, I want to be born again. I want to be saved. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. We should be leaving the auditorium if it's urgent, but not because we just want to slip out early. The whole motion is forward, not backward. If you're not saved, come. You need to get something right with God, you come. Let the Scripture, let the preaching of the Scripture stir you. Stir you. Some of you know quite well what the Scripture says, but you need to be reminded of it. And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. He said, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this, he said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Remember his marvelous works. Remember, and whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, we will remember thy love more than anything. Song of Solomon 1, verse number 4. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? None of these. None of these. Remembering mine affliction, he said, Remember that Jesus Christ, the Son of David, was raised from the dead. He said, I have showed you all things and how so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. He said, remember these things, folks. These things he specifically commands that we remember are those things that the devil works sometimes on us most. We know them, but we need to be reminded to do them. We become distant and callous to them. We've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. And before long, it's just as if the Scripture is that voice that cries in the wilderness seeking an ear, a tender ear, a humble ear, a receptive ear. The Lord said, if you'll let me remind you, I can stir you. Their purity will come out of it. If you're not saved, come. Do not make public your salvation, come. If you've not been baptized, come. One more time through the song choir. One more time, please. It'd be good for some of you to remember back when you were close with God. Remember back when you had a prayer life. And remember back when you were up close and productive for God. It'd be good that you remember. Let it stir you. Figure out when that was, where that was. Get it right. God bless you, choir. God bless you, congregation.